This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Firehead of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday and Wednesday, and now on Thursday nights as well, friends. That's right. The People Speak has added another night for our listeners, and we are growing. That's 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, three nights a week. You can go to our website at www.thepeoplespeak.net, or you can listen to our past shows on our iPod Ready archives, and you can also listen in via satellite in your Nokia phone. Just go to www.thepeoplespeakradio.net, and the website has the details. We have a great guest tonight. I'm really looking forward to interviewing her, Korean-American actress, Margaret Cho. She's an actress, comedian, author, filmmaker. Margaret, welcome to our show. It is just a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
You know, there's so much going on in your life. I mean, it's amazing. I was, you know, while I was doing the research for the interview, I mean, obviously we know that you, what was the name, can you tell us the name of the show that really gave you your break first here on television?
When I first started, I did a lot of TV early on in the early 90s. So I did a lot of television appearances. So there was a lot of stand-up comedy shows on TV at that point. And so I ended up doing, like, a ton of things. Like, one of the things that I did was Star Search. And I was on Star Search, but I wasn't on regular Star Search. They had me on Star Search International.
No, really? That I was
representing Korea, which is so ridiculous because I'd never even been there. You know, but they didn't know what to do with me because I was an Asian American, and they didn't have Asian Americans on TV then. So they didn't know what to do with me. I mean, it was really a weird thing. So I would do all these comedy shows, and then I got this deal to do a TV show on ABC called All American Girl, which was the first Asian American family on television. And it was quite an experience, but I'm proud because I brought the first Asian American family to television with All American Girl, and now, 14 years later, I'm bringing the second Asian American family to television in the Cho Show. So I'm number one, and I'm number two.
But you know, it seems like you're either designated as Korean or as American. Is there a place that you are settled in and more comfortable with now?
Well, I'm very happy to be Korean American. I'm very happy to be either or. It's not really, you know, it's not that important to me. It's more just about even just being American. You know, like I am Korean American, but I feel American is the only really important one because I've never even been to Korea. So I don't know how I'm Korean American because I don't know what that's about.
Do you think your humor has added anything to the representation of the Asian community in the United States?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like I did a lot in increasing Asian American visibility in this country, certainly in television. I feel since I was the first, I opened the door for a lot of people, and that's very exciting to me. And I was the first, not because I'm the best, not because I'm the greatest, but because I'm brave. And that's what's really important nowadays. When we are not represented in the media, we need the bravery to step forward and say that we're here. And I, many years ago, was brave enough to do that. And this is what I encourage other people to do.
Why is it important to you, Margaret, to represent any of your roots or your history?
Well, when people do not see images of themselves in the media, they feel like they do not exist. So when you can push that image forward and show them that they do exist is incredibly empowering. You give people the gift of their humanity when you can show them that they exist and they're important and that they matter. And these are very important things to do. So this is why I am into representing Asian Americans. That's why I am into representing gays and lesbians. That's why I'm into working for the rights of those who are oppressed.
You've been called a gay icon. What does that mean exactly to you?
Well, I grew up within the gay community, and when I was 8 years old, I watched the assassination of Harvey Milk, and it was so appalling to me that somebody could be killed because of his sexual orientation. And I made a commitment to myself at a very young age to always fight for the rights of gays and lesbians. And so I was an activist even before I was a stand-up comedian.
You've been an activist for a lot of years. Can you tell us something, some of the work that you've been doing most recently?
Most recently I've been working on the marriage equality in California thing, like that I really want gay marriage to happen, and I want it to happen everywhere, but it's going to start in California. I mean, it's already started in Massachusetts, and now I want to see it happen in California, and I want to make sure that we keep it. And I want to defeat Proposition 8, which is going on ballots in November, that's going to try to, you know, get rid of gay marriage in California, and we really can't have that. So I'm very focused on working towards marriage equality. It's a thing that I have been working on for 4 years, nonstop. And I feel like the victory in California of us having gay marriage right now is the result of all these different people working on gay marriage and making it their priority. And I'm so proud to be part of this struggle, and I'm so proud to be part of people responsible in bringing gay marriage to California and making it a reality.
Well, you know, Rosie O'Donnell had just such an incredible struggle surrounding this very issue. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, she said that she would not remarry until it was something that was considered that the taboo surrounding gay marriage was totally removed. Do you work with her, or have you aligned yourself with any of other actors or actresses that are interested in this field?
Well, I do work with Rosie O'Donnell a lot, and we go out on the road for the True Colors tour, which is Cyndi Lauper's tour. And Cyndi Lauper's tour is all about ending homophobia and bringing equal rights for gays and lesbians just across the board everywhere. And so we do our activism through our humor and our comedy and our work. And Cyndi does it through her music. So those are people that I have really aligned myself with in terms of this political struggle, and also just in the greater sort of like sphere of wanting to hang out and be together.
As a comedian, Margaret, does it ever interfere with the seriousness of your activism?
Yes, because I don't want to. It's a fine line, you know. I don't want to be. I don't want to be a politician, which is different, because activism is really more of a selfless wanting to fight for a cause, whereas a politician, it's really, then you become a symbol of the sort of cause. And to me, activism is a lot more appealing than becoming a politician, because to me that seems like it would be unpleasant. But I really feel like it's also important to remain an entertainer, too. I still want to be funny, but I want to be relevant, and I want to be important in this way. I want to be able to push my ideas forward. I want my opinions to be heard. I want people to be helped by what I say. So, I still want to be an entertainer, too. So it's a struggle.
Were you naturally funny?
I don't know. I really do have to work at it, but it is a weird thing, because I'm quite a shy person. So the humor comes to me naturally, but the tendency to share it with others does not come to me naturally. So it is a little bit of a challenge sometimes.
Now, obviously, a lot of people do know that your father wrote joke books, and that,
yes.
but kind of, you called it almost an archival kind of
yes.
book that he wrote.
He's more of a historian. So he wrote a book about jokes through history, through Korean history, or stories, humorous stories throughout Korean history. So he and I don't work in the same manner in terms of writing. He tends to take a lot of his writing more from historical, just different accounts, and he's much more of a historian. I'm much more of, I'm sort of like very, very much about taking my own pain and my own suffering and my own history and laying it out there. So my stories are all from my life, where his stories tend to be from the sort of just history, the world, different contexts.
For those of you who have just joined us, we're talking with Margaret Cho, activist, comedian, extraordinaire, and actress. Our toll-free number is 877-489-6350. And U.S. and Canada, you can call 888-228-4494. We do have a question from Mike in California. On your worldwide tours with Cyndi Lauper, which countries would you say were the most pro-gay rights and which the most homophobic?
Well, we have only gone to Canada and America, and I've been in Australia with Cyndi, not with the True Colors tour, but I've just been there. And I found that Australia and Canada were really wonderful. You know, the amount of people that came out to the shows and the people who are very interested in gay rights is very, really interesting. We were there in Australia, in Sydney, for the big Mardi Gras celebration, which is the biggest gay pride celebration in the world. It is really astounding and really a huge event and so great. And so I feel like Australians probably have the biggest gay pride celebration. Toronto's pretty close second, you know. But of course, America, it's also great, too. So it sort of depends. I guess I've just sort of noticed that the cities that sort of attracts is this bigger sort of gay pride thing. We're Sydney and Toronto, both.
Really, very interesting. I have to agree that I think that as I speak to people and understand what they how they feel about the gay situation, and I too am very involved in the gay community by members of my family. And when we talk, it just seems that you almost have to get away from the American day-to-day, I don't want to call it political, because I don't know that it's political. I think that there's so much involved now with spiritualism and yeah. religion. I know one of your comedy shows, you deal with that, the crazy people of the Bible-thumping community.
Yes.
And how do you handle that kind of anger, that kind of Christian anger?
Well, it confuses me, really, because I grew up Christian. I grew up within the church. I mean, my family is a church family. My grandfather was a minister. We had church in our home every night. Every night. I mean, we were like reading the Bible every day. I was teaching kids the Bible. I am very Christian. I still feel like I identify as Christian. It's my culture. It's my life. But I find that the behavior of certain Christians who seem to hate homosexuality for whatever reason, who seem to interpret the Bible in their own way, in their own convenient way, where they feel like God is sanctioning this hatred. And to me, it's very disturbing, because that is not what God is telling us to do. When they attack gays, when they try to take away gay rights, when they try to hurt gays and lesbians because they don't agree with their lifestyle, it's very un-Christ-like behavior. They should not have the right to call themselves Christians. If Jesus came back today, he would say, that's not what I meant.
I agree. You certainly, you know, but I think you screamed it a lot louder in your show.
Yeah.
I am the one that I want. That sounds to me to be one of your more serious comedic works. What
yes.
was that about?
That show was all about doing television and my experiences doing All American Girl, which were very difficult because, you know, there had never been an Asian American family before on TV. There was tremendous pressure on me to really adhere to what the network wanted. I felt like I had carried the weight of the world on my shoulders because I wanted this show to be successful for the Asian American community, yet when I arrived on the scene, the Asian community, the Korean community specifically, totally rejected me. They really hated me. They were really angry because I was not a man. They were angry because I was talking so much about sex and gay stuff. They hated the fact that I was so rebellious, and they thought I was ugly, and they thought I was fat. So a lot of Korean groups, Korean political groups and Korean social groups, they threatened to picket and protest at my TV show because they hated it so much. And so I would get letters from young Korean children who would write to me and tell me that I made them ashamed to be Korean. And I'm sure that their parents were really writing the letters. They were just like trying to send them to me for full effect. I mean, I was really hated by the Korean community. And what happened was I stuck around for a very long time, and, you know, all those people died. So that's awesome.
That's so tragic. Look at me, I'm laughing.
So it's awesome. And then, people really also, when I first came on the scene, like, my television show was so, it was so hard for them to give me any control, like the network didn't give me any control, and so the show wasn't what I wanted it to be. So all of my show, I'm the One That I Want, is really about that experience, about being on television, having no control over everything, having to fight with the Korean community, having to deal with the way the show was. It wasn't what I wanted it to be. And so it was a very difficult experience, and my show is all about that.
You called yourself that one time a Hollywood casualty. What did you mean by that?
Well, I thought that I would just never work again and that I would just die in obscurity. You know, I was feeling like Hollywood could really have killed me, so I would be a Hollywood casualty. Because part of the reason why the network had a problem with me is they thought I was too fat to play the role of myself. So I became very anorexic and had to be hospitalized. And I had pretty serious health problems now because of my anorexic and bulimic past, which is all due to working in television. I could have very well been a Hollywood casualty because I could have died from the crazy pressure, the crazy need to be thin, and my desire to please everybody. It was really a nightmare.
Amazing. Just amazing. There's a lot of questions that are coming in from our listeners. Susan Massachusetts would like to ask you, did Margaret do a video called My Puss for the audience, and what was that about?
Yes, I did a video called My Puss, and it's a great song, and it's my rap song, and it's actually a cover of a song, sort of a cover, a parody of another song called My Dick, which is a great song by Dirt Nasty and Mickey Avalon, who are wonderful, wonderful performers, great, great guys, and so it's a cover song of their song, a parody song of their song, and I made a video for it, and it's on YouTube.
Was it kind of like a takeoff on their work?
Yes.
How funny. A comedic takeoff, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
I did read about it, but I didn't know it was on YouTube. I will have to look at that. That's an intriguing name. I love that.
It's very funny.
I'm going to ask you a question. In my life, I see all things as a metaphor, one of significance and generally a reflection of my own life, Margaret. Is your tour Beautiful a metaphor, and is that you come full circle?
Yes, I think that it is. It is just, it's just important to talk about beauty, and it's important to claim our own beauty. If we are, you know, minorities, if we are different, if we are outside of mainstream culture, it's important to make a stand and take a stand and feel beautiful as an act of revolution. It's very important because we need that strength that beauty provides. That vanity is not vanity at all. It's actually strength, and it's important to have. So my show Beautiful is about encouraging that feeling of beauty. It's very important for women to feel beautiful. It's very important for, well, anybody to, but it's just a really, really life-saving thing.
Can anybody really feel beautiful in Hollywood, Margaret?
I think so. I do.
You think so?
I mean, I absolutely do.
Because you are. You're absolutely breathtaking, and you're radiant, and you're fun, and, you know, there's a lightness about you that's very refreshing. And the honesty that you just come across with, even how you talk about your family and the fact that your parents are so supportive and they, that you never ask permission for what they say is just absolutely refreshing, I think. I love that.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. And I feel like I love my TV show, The Cho-Show, because it really shows a very different, very multicultural and very queer kind of new family. Yet it's so successful. It is not dysfunctional at all. It's totally functional and beautiful. And we're all allowed to be ourselves. And I love that. I think it's really marvelous.
We've got some more questions here from our audience. John from the Canadian Rockies. His question is, Margaret, do you have a working relationship with Code Pink? Do you have any funny Code Pink stories to share or any funny Cindy Sheehan stories? And he sends miles of smiles to you.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, Cindy Sheehan is a big hero of mine. I really think she's incredible. And she's trying to run against Nancy Pelosi here. It's very interesting. So we'll see how it goes. But I am very into her. I think she's really amazing. I feel like she really changed the country's opinion about the Iraq War by bringing in her experience as a mother who has lost her son. And she's an incredible, incredible fighter and just an amazing person. And I'm just really deeply, deeply in a deep respect and love for Cindy Sheehan. And I love her. I think she's great. And Code Pink is great. And I'm just very, very into what they're all doing.
Well, we agree with you here. We've had Cindy a number of times on our show, and we just love her. She's just... And as you said, I believe that she turned the tide for what was really happening in the responsibility and standing up to the real hard questions when our president failed to answer any of those real hard questions. I mean, I think that told the world a lot of truth.
It told a lot of truth, and it was really important. I mean, Cindy Sheehan was so just integral to our country turning the tide and really, really realizing that the Bush administration was bad. And they took us into a war, an unnecessary war, and we lost our children to this war. And she just made the ultimate sacrifice to a terrible situation, and it's really a tragedy. So she's an incredible person.
One of the things that I got through all of this, all of the research about your history and your Korean background as an American in this country, and myself as an Arab American, and Cindy Sheehan as a mother of a soldier that was called anti-American, you know, she gave the this was the ultimate sacrifice, and I find that I'm trying to find out sometimes. What is a real American if we're not real Americans? If Cindy Sheehan isn't a real American, and if Korean Americans aren't real Americans, who are Americans?
I know, who are they? And it's like, it's ridiculous. It's like that this is who Americans are. This is who America is. This is what America is, you know? And it's such a narrow vision that people have sometimes.
Absolutely. Eric in Minnesota, speaking of narrow, wants to know, how do you feel about President Bush and Dick Cheney, and who do you support for president in this election?
Well, I'm happy to see Bush and Cheney leaving the White House, and I will be very excited to watch Barack Obama become president. And I know he will be our next president, and I can't wait.
Well, there you go, folks. And Eric, I hope that answers your question for you. Lisa in Illinois, I think you're cute. Are you single or involved in a relationship now?
Oh, thank you very much. I am married, and I've been married to a wonderful man for 6 years. We've been together for about 10. And we're very happy. You know, I don't really talk too much about my relationship. To me, it's really very sacred. I feel like love is a really holy thing, and that if you have it, you have to do everything that you can to protect it. And so I really am very private when it comes to my home life, and my husband will not be a part of my television show because I want to stay married, you know, so I'm really just very devoted to my relationship. And that one of the reasons why I'm so adamant about gay marriage is because I feel like marriage is an important institution for human beings. I feel like family is also very important, and this is, should be absolutely available to gays and lesbians because we need families too. It's a very, very important struggle.
Well, thank you, and I agree with you. Love is a very sacred thing. Doc in Oklahoma wants to know if you've ever worked with Robin Williams, and if so, what was it like?
I have worked with Robin Williams before on a couple of different occasions. I worked with him on Comic Relief. They used to do that big benefit every year called Comic Relief, which was all for homeless people. And it was Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg, and they would host it every year, and it was a very big deal. And I loved doing it, and I loved meeting him, and he's really an icon in comedy, and San Francisco guy, which is where I'm from. So I really love him. He's great.
Yeah, he really is. Karen in Utah, and I think this is a really great question. What would you advise young females who are struggling with telling their families that they are lesbian or bi to do?
I feel like you need to make your life more important than other people's. Like, your life is more important than what people think of you. And it is very painful when our parents don't approve of us. It's very painful when our parents don't see, like, the same kind of reasons why we would need to be a certain way, and that's very disheartening, but you have to make your life the most important thing. Your life is more important than anybody else's, and don't be something that you're not just to please others, because, you know, life is so precious and so short, and we need to be able to be brave and be ourselves, and there's nothing wrong in being gay. There's nothing wrong being a lesbian at all. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful life, and once you can just make your own life the most important thing, make yourself the most important thing, then everything will fall into place.
Let me ask you, you know, you talk about parents, and no matter how much we want to say that our parents are understanding and loving, and I mean, let's face it, Notorious Chow is really over the edge when it comes to the type of comedy. How did your parents feel about that?
Well, they just really accept it all, and they accept it all with a smile, and they're so proud and loving and generous, and they just feel, like, so excited by what I do. And the subject matter doesn't really matter to them. They're like, okay with it, which is really cute. And they just pretend that they don't understand the English. That's how they deal with it.
You know, honestly, I think that that's probably how my parents would do it. My mother and father have selective hearing, selective memory, selective everything else.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like they can sort of censor what they need to with their, like, kind of language, whatever. It's very funny.
There we have the language barrier clause in our relationship with our family. I like that.
Yeah.
Lewis in Arkansas, have you considered going to Iraq to entertain the troops, or do you think that that would be too controversial for such a job, that you would be too controversial?
I would love to go to Iraq to entertain the troops. I haven't been approached to do that. I have really wanted to, though. I have only been able to... I've met a few people from the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C., a few soldiers, and I invited them to my shows when I do shows there. But I have not had a chance to go to Iraq yet. But, you know, hopefully, I hope that they will be coming home soon, and then I can do shows for them when they come back here. Because then a war,
yeah.
Because I feel like if a Barack Obama is in office, the war will be over.
Well, I think that's wonderful. For those of our listeners who have just joined us, we have Margaret. Is it Margaret Cho or Margaret Cho?
Yes.
Cho. Margaret Cho on Cho. Okay.
Yes.
Hollywood comedian, actress, and activist. Just for those of you that don't know, we've added a new night to our programming. We're here Thursday nights as well with Charlie Giuliani. Charlie will be interviewing Robert Bowman, who is the director of the Advanced Space Programs developed for the U.S. Air Force. Tomorrow night, Will Thomas, Canadian journalist and author, with our host David Swanson. And I will be interviewing our guests Scott Tillich and Andrea Ramirez next Tuesday night. Please call in. The telephone numbers are... Let me find that. I put it here somewhere. 877-489-6350 and toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. A lot of stuff going on. I have chosen to stay and fight. Margaret, that was a statement that you made. What was the option that you had?
Well, that was my book. That was the sort of feeling that I wanted to come across was this idea that, you know, well, people were talking about how America was so getting so bad that they wanted to just move away to a different country. You know, people were just like wanting to move to France, and I thought, no, I'm gonna stay and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna stay and I wanna change things. I wanna make it my own. I wanna make this country my own as opposed to running away from the problem. And it was sort of an encouragement to everybody to just, let's just work on this together.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. You know, I just found that to be really powerful in light of everything that's going on in our country today. And like you said, people are wanting, and, you know, rumors of fleeing and leaving and going to someplace more democratic is almost a frightening statement. I really appreciate that when I read it.
Yeah.
Daryl in New York. Margaret asks, I always thought you were great, that you were a great, sophisticated, and cool comedian. Are you something of a hero in the Asian community, and have you been honored as such?
I have now. I was not honored when I first arrived on the scene, but now I have received many accolades and many awards and honors from the Asian American community. It's really wonderful, and in my first episode of The Cho Show, which is my new TV show on VH1, which will start on Thursday, August 21st at 11 p.m. On VH1. It's really, really great. But on the first episode, I get awarded Korean of the Year, which is a very big Korean American magazine, awarded me the Korean of the Year award. And so it was all about my experience with the Korean community and what I was doing and how I felt about it and, you know, my experience there. And so the show is really about that kind of challenge and that struggle of not being accepted by the Korean community and then finally gaining acceptance. So it's a great episode, and I'm very proud for it to be my first one.
Well, you should, and I'm glad that you have come into your own within your own community, because no matter what, our roots are important to us.
Yes.
I think that being somehow shunned or made an enemy of your own culture is never the intention, I think, of anybody that goes the path that you did. And I think it's wonderful that you're getting the recognition. You deserve it. You're absolutely
Thank a you.
Very talented young lady. We're going to be taking a break, and we're going to be right back with our guest, Margaret Cho, comedian, actress, activist, author, filmmaker, and we'll be talking more about some of her current projects in just a couple of minutes.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.com.
Hi, this is Jamie Lee with the Jamie Lee Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping United States citizens and legal residents who are victims of crime while working abroad for government contractors. We demand government contract corporations and government entities to act responsibly and be held accountable to provide a work environment free of sexual harassment and limit the potential for abuse. We insist contractors to disclose criminal activity to employees and applicants so that they can make educated decisions regarding their safety. We work towards a day when all U.S. citizen contractors will be able to work without fear and safety concerns.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
One bright sunny morning.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio. Our guest tonight is Margaret Cho. She's an incredible comedian. We're having a really wonderful time talking to her. Someone once called your comedy, Margaret, confessional-style comedy. In most confession, there's a cathartic release of suffering. Does
Yes.
that apply to you in any way?
I think so. A lot of my humor is kind of born out of pain and suffering or even just annoyance. At everyday crimes, like the everyday casualness of racism towards Asian Americans or towards gays, or, you know, homophobia towards gays or sexism or whatever. So they, you know, some of the small crimes that are committed against us, that, well, how do we fight back from them? And it's about sort of trying to find the way to fight back within ourselves using humor. A lot of, you know, the indignities, the experience that I talk about, as they sort of all get combated with humor. It's a way to sort of lift up the spirits of people who have kind of experienced the same thing, because of people's insensitivities towards race or sex or sexuality or gender or whatever. So it is a confessional thing, and it's also a kind of way to empower myself, too.
Margaret Anna in New York asks, can you tell us about your new TV show, what it is about? Will you be playing yourself like a reality show, or is it a sitcom? She briefly touched on it a minute ago, Anna, but please tell us more about it, Margaret.
Well, my show, it's on VH1. It's called The Cho Show, and it starts on August 21st at 11, and it's really great. And it's basically a sitcom starring real people. So, yes, I am playing myself, and it is real situations. It's my real family and my real friends and my real assistant, who is a Selene Luna, who's Mexican-American and a little person. She's 3'10", and she's amazing. And she's so funny and so smart, you would think she was 10 feet tall because she's just brilliant and wonderful. And so the show is very scripted because it's very sort of tightly controlled stories out of my life, but the dialogue is all improvised. So it definitely has a reality feeling, but it is certainly a very much as a scripted show. So it would be closer to a show similar to something like Curb Your Enthusiasm or a Christopher Guest film than necessarily just a reality show.
That sounds wonderful. Ted wants to know, in Ohio, do you feel that the use of profanity on American TV should be allowed, and is it more lenient in other countries?
I think it is more lenient in other countries. I feel like profanity should be allowed after a certain hour. I feel like that there is a responsibility to protect children. But at the same time, that there is also a responsibility to tell the truth. And profanity, to me, is not really harmful. It's just words in a sense that the profanity that I use is not homophobic, it's not sexist, and it's not racist. So to me, it's all just sort of descriptions, really, or nouns. So I don't know. I tend to like
I just call
my
them
profanity.
Really great words, actually.
Uh-huh.
I just call them really great words.
Yeah, they're great words.
And, you know, there's a power to it. There is a power to certain words. And good, bad, or indifferent, when you use them and you can use them effectively, they can bring attention to what is being said. Some people are offended, I guess, and I feel that some people are always going to be offended. If we walk around with an offensive chip on our shoulder, we're always going to find someone to offend us.
Right.
Margaret, you're an Obama supporter, and yet the Democratic Party has, in fact, shunned you at some point. How do you reconcile yourself with this?
Well, because I believe in Barack Obama, and I believe in his campaign, and I want to see him as president, and I don't hold a grudge towards the Democratic Party. It's my party. I'm going to be attending the Democratic National Convention next week. And, I'm actually attending a big function, by the organization that disinvited me. So I am not about holding grudges, when it comes to politics, when it comes to what's really important. I am about fighting all on the same side and making sure that we win. And I want Barack Obama to win this election. I want him as our next president. And I know that he's going to be a wonderful president. And so, to me, that's more important than holding grudges over, you know, what happened in the past.
Well, that's wonderful. You said you didn't mean to be a role model. But let me ask you this question. If you had a message, what would your message be?
I feel like everybody is beautiful, and I want everybody to feel beautiful. Because if you feel beautiful, you will act on that. You will have a sense of pride about yourself. You will walk with a sense of dignity that nobody can take away. And I think that's really important. So I just want people to feel beautiful.
Well, you also said that you wanted to explore the nature of beauty. What is funny and what's scary about it?
What's funny about beauty is how we can't often see it in ourselves, that we deny ourselves beauty, and that we sort of give that power of telling who is beautiful to other people. The power of dictating what is beautiful is often given to other people when we can have the power to dictate it ourselves. So that, to me, is tragic about beauty, but also funny and interesting. and scary.
Do you think that it's that parents have a responsibility for instilling that kind of self-love in their children? And do you also think that society has an input in that?
Yes, I feel like not all parents, but all adults have the responsibility to instill self-love in children. I feel like all children are the responsibility of all of us, that the world is supposed to take care of children. That's why I was really angry about the Chinese girls, the one in the Olympics, who they wouldn't let sing because they didn't think she was pretty enough, so they had her.
Sad.
It was so terrible, and I thought I didn't want little girls of the world to hear that story, because I didn't want little girls to think that the world is like that. We have a responsibility to protect little girls, to protect all children, and to love them and make sure that they grow up loving themselves. And so this is a responsibility of parents, but ultimately this responsibility of the world, that kids grow up that way. And so it's everybody's job.
How do you feel about the Olympics being held in Beijing this year, considering the terrible violence that has gone on there?
It's so trippy of all of the stuff that's gone on in China in the last several months. You know, starting with the riots in Tibet, really trying to get out from under China, and then with the terrible, terrible tragedy of the earthquake, and then, you know, now with the Olympics, it's a very intense time for China, and I think that we're really grasping the vastness of this country, that it is such a huge, huge place, and so many different things can happen in one day. It's really astounding to me. So it's very interesting to watch all of this. You know, I'm very much about Tibet. It's a country that I love, and I beg and cry for their freedom, and their religious freedom constantly. But, you know, it's almost like I feel like China is so vast and so big, and you know, that there's so much included there going on there. It's really tremendous.
It is it's the most astounding industrial revolution that has ever existed on the face of planet Earth. More is happening in China than I think has ever happened in the world. And you're right, it's an amazing place. And with all of this technology, all of this amazingness, they can break the heart of a little child. I mean,
it's terrible.
That was very profound, I think.
Yeah, but that's also a very Asian thing, because Asians are really incredibly sexist too. So they have no qualms about crushing the hopes and dreams of little girls, because they don't care about little girls. Little girls are not as important as little boys, obviously, also because with China, they adopt out all their little girls anyway. So it's a very weird country. It's like I'm very conflicted when it comes to my ideas of China and what I think about them. And, you know, I have compassion, but at the same time, anger because of Tibet. But at the same time, my heart goes out to them because of this earthquake and also just the violence that they're dealing with constantly. And it's just a very intense time.
You're probably often mistaken for Chinese, aren't you?
Generally. I mean, people don't make any kind of distinction of it. I don't really care, because for me, it's important in America to be acknowledged as American. And so the national identity for me becomes quite irrelevant to me. I only care about identifying as American.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of, I know that you've got the TV show coming up, the Cho Show, but you've got some other stuff going in the works. Can you tell us some of your work that you're involved in right now?
Well, I'm still on tour with my show, Beautiful, my stand-up comedy show, which has been extended.
When did that start exactly?
In February of this year.
Okay.
And I went on through June, and I'm taking a little break. And I'll return to doing it this week, but I'm going all over the place with the Beautiful show. That's really exciting. because I really love touring. I love doing stand-up. And then I have the Cho Show. And then I have, I'm doing a new show for Lifetime called Drop Dead Diva, which is a drama, comedy drama. It's very funny, very interesting. And so I'll be starting that in September.
And as far as your activism, are you currently basically involved in promoting just the gay marriage? And I didn't mean that in the way I said it.
Yeah, no, I'm working on marriage equality with Equality California, which is the main organization working on that issue here in California. And we just raised $2 million to defeat Proposition 8, which is a huge thing. I'm very excited about raising all that money. And I look forward to defeating that proposition and seeing gay marriage happen and stay in California.
Well, I couldn't help but think of you this evening when, just before the show started, I received a call. You know, you get those telemarketing-type calls from many of the organizations, but this one happened to be an organization that I love, a National Organization for Women Now.
Oh, yes.
And they were soliciting funds for fighting the new acts about birth control, that from now on anything that affects a woman getting pregnant is considered an abortion. They're changing I never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life.
It's like we're going backwards. It's like we're going back in time, and I don't know why George Bush is trying to make us go back in time. I mean, why can't he just leave well enough alone? Hasn't he done enough damage?
I know. I'm like, okay, taking birth control pills is not abortion.
It's not abortion, and it's like, it's crazy.
It is. It's almost so extreme that it's frightening.
It's frightening. You know, they can't have control of women's bodies. Women's bodies are not public property. They are not something that can be voted on in that manner. Nobody has the right to vote on whether somebody can take birth control or not. That should be a given. That should be a choice. And that's like, it's just not okay. It's not okay.
Let me ask you, Margaret, what's your favorite production that you have put out there?
Well, my favorite is the Cho Show. I think it is the best work I've done. I'm extremely proud of it. I feel like it is my life's work. And I'm just really over the moon about the show, and I can't wait for people to see. I think that they're going to love it, and they're going to love it like I do. So that's really great.
Well, for those of you that are looking forward to Margaret Cho's work, the Cho Show is on VH1. It starts August 21st, and you can go and find out more information on www.margaretcho.com. Please feel free to go there. You can also probably get her links on our site, www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. Margaret, it's been a real pleasure having you with us this evening. We wish
Thank
you luck
you.
With the Cho Show. I know that Beautiful, just the reading about Beautiful and doing the work and researching Beautiful really touched my heart. And like you said, you're traveling with a Beautiful show.
Congratulations. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget to come back tomorrow night with our host, David Swanson. And that's it for the night. Good night from the People Speak Radio Show. Thank you.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream Water.